Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is Morning Edition on AM 580, and it's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning to you. Let's check how prices fared on the resumption of trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, the Merck, and in Kansas City. We gave the overnight opens at 849 in Kansas City. July wheat opened at 477, up 4 on the open. September, 487, up 4.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 370, up 3 on the open. September, 386, up 1.25. December, 406.75, up 3. March, 422.5, up 2.5 on the open. July corn opened at 230.25, up 0.5 on the open. September, 242, up 3/4. December, 256.5, up 0.5. March, 268.25, up 0.5. May, 276.5, unchanged. July, 285, up 0.5 on the open. July oats open at 197.25, up 3/4 on the open. September, 196, up 1.25. July beans open at 586.5, up 1.25 on the open. August, 592.5, up 1/4. September, 599, down 1/4. November, 611.5, down 0.5. January, 624, up 2.5. March, 632, up 1.5. May, 637, up 0.5 on the open. July soybean meal opened at 177.50, up 20 on the open. The August contract up 20 as well. It opened at 178.40. July soybean oil opened at 24.28, unchanged on the open. August, 24.51, up 2. At the Merck, August feeders opened at 112.95, up 20 on the open. September, 112.40, up 7.5. October, 111.25, up 7.5 on the open. June live cattle opened at 81.90, down 5 on the open. August, 83.25, up 5. July lean hogs opened at 75.90, up 27.5 on the open. August, 72.25, up 42.5. October, 61.10, up 27.5. December, 58.50, up 7.5 on the open. And July bellies opened at 98.20, up 117.5 on the open.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincolnland Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnlandAgriEnergy.com.
Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services. He is located in Oakland, Illinois. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we had news out of USDA this morning. USDA says that the U.S. and Japan have reached an agreement that could reopen the U.S. border, the Japanese border to U.S. beef after Japanese inspection teams arrive in the U.S. this weekend. They're going to conclude their work by July 21st, but if you look at the market, barely caused a ripple there, Paul. Why not?
Well, we have a ton of cattle on feed right now, and that's the one problem with the cattle market. Ultimately, in October and December, it will augur well for prices. The problem is that we are seeing a major problem with getting this actually done and quickly implemented. One story I heard this morning was the Japanese Prime Minister is coming to the U.S., and some of our farm belt senators and congressmen are very upset that the Japanese haven't moved quicker on this issue. It's cost the American farmer and the cattleman millions of dollars.
So we have this plan in place. What's your gut tell you about whether or not this will be the time? Does it feel like it that they've actually reached something that they can work
with? Well, I know the Secretary of Agriculture and the President Bush has just worked very hard on the issue, as well as the congressional people, and it's fair, and it should be opened, and we're completely supportive of the idea. It's just the idea that it's cost the cattleman and, you know, labor and the big packing companies millions of dollars, and it's a sad deal.
I do see that the deal, as at least in terms of an ask, has Japan wanting U.S. to ban chicken and pig meat as well as bone meal from cattle feed. Are they likely to get that, at least in the longer term?
You know, it's a trend, and near as we can tell, it upsets a cattle producer or a hog producer when I say it's probably the way to do it, but it also helps our soybean processors and soybean farmers. So I guess I know a little more soybean processing stock than I do livestock at this time, but I think it's something that's a step in the right direction, and I think it's whatever the consumer wants that improves demand is the bottom line.
All right, then. Let's turn our attention to the board. We'll start in the wheat pit today, Paul. The July contract now at 373.5, up 6.5. The December 410, up 6.25. When we look back at this week, will we say the low is in place for the harvest?
Well, our private weather man, when I talked to him about the wheat, he's very stingy about the rainfall in the spring wheat area and also the spring wheat of Canada. It's not only a U.S. issue, it's a Canadian issue as well. Prices, you know, if we do cut the crop considerably, price of wheat is too cheap, and we are going to see a rally. It's indirectly supporting corn and soybeans as well, but there's people that are actually saying, you know, be long wheat, short corn. But it is a positive situation. The major problem here is the weather, and crop ratings are dropping, and one can't argue with the price rally.
Over at the corn pit, we see now July at 230.5, up 3/4, been as high as 231, as low as 229.75. Yesterday came within 0.25 of the March low. Traders of a mindset that that's low enough for now?
Well, we hope so. And a couple of things, you know, we hear prominent people like Al Peterlin and Dan Bassey say, you know, there's nearly not a lot of hot temperatures, but it is a little warmer forecast for next week. The area that's a big concern, of course, is Des Moines West is still a major dry area, and our private meteorologists that we watch continue to point in that direction that it's going to be very variable and highly scattered, and that's going to be an area that's a major problem, as well as the Dakotas. I looked it up, and we raised 6.2 million acres of corn in North and South Dakota. Rather stingy as far as the rainfall areas up there. There's major new ethanol plants going in those two state area, and you know, as a result of that, just Iowa and the Dakotas being a little dry is a factor. Now, one farmer mentioned to me this morning that if you have if you put insecticide on for rootworm control, you know, dry Junes really isn't a favorable way, and chances are there will be some losses in corn yields due to rootworm problems. So, you know, that's a factor. And there's a lot of real estate in Iowa that still needs a drink of water. And, of course, we've gone through a fairly dry June here in parts of Illinois. My general impression is that corn got beat up by all commodities. You know, commodity funds liquidated. They liquidated the stock market. They liquidated gold and silver. And corn got punished as well. So demand looks good this coming year and the following year, and the market's being haunted by that 2.1 billion bushel carryover.
Relative to other commodities, soybeans not punished quite as much, though. Why do you think that is? And might things like more reports of aphids in more and more states that we're hearing from time to time, for example, being lending some underlying support, as well as what we may see at the end of the month in that acreage report?
Well, the commodity funds weren't quite as long in soybeans. The farmer has been a strong holder of cash soybeans here in the U.S. as well as South America. our general impression is we still need to watch that August time frame for drought and or rust, and I think the farmer is basically a very strong holder. We have seen cash movement of soybeans in the Midwest. Soybean crush margins seem to be good to excellent. Our general impression is that, you know, fundamentally the beans have probably the poorest balance sheet that we see, but the bean market's still basically fairly strong. Also, there's going to be a lot of money spent both here in the U.S. and South America and in Europe on soy diesel, and that's a positive aspect, particularly next year and the following years.
Thanks much, Paul.
Have a profitable day, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services in Oakland, Illinois.